Okay, so last week we outlined the three main positions in terms of why it's binding to listen to the answer you get once you've asked halachic shayla. The position of Rashi, the Imei, that it's simply an issue of kavod,
right.
It's just not respectful. The position of the Raivit, which is that you've taken a commitment upon yourself to listen, therefore you have to listen. And the Ritva's sort of metaphysical claim, which is... you have given the posek the ability to transform your halachic reality. And we noted that for sort of the angle that we've been taking it this year, the novelty of this is that even in the most radical position of the Ritva, right, where it sounds very much like a top-down system, and to an extent it really is, top-down meaning halacha being power-focused in authority figures rather than in the laity, mm-hmm. That's only half the story, because Dafka from the Ritva... The irony is, you want to, maybe we should make more copies. Only some of the copies came out, so okay. You can share or you can make copies physically now that we have physical copies.
Gosh,
so. Because I know you wanted ones you can read. If you want, you can make copies from mine. Just go make two.
Clients will take a picture.
I can send it to you. That's not an issue. I can just send you the sources. I just send it So like I said, what's of course there's reception here, so that's the
just take a picture.
No, there's
smart
on the shul.
Well, right, I'm waiting on it. Okay, well, we have to, we can read whatever. Anyways, but what I noted is surprising from the sugya is this notion that authority that is vested in the posek is granted by the Shoel. And that is already an aspect that I think is downplayed. Yeah?
The word was vested?
Yes.
Invested.
Is it with the power invested, or it's with the power
vested?
Vested
in me.
Vested.
Is it really?
By the power vested in me.
Yes.
I always thought it was invested.
Anyways. I noted that one of the things we're going to have to analyze, we'll do this next, is that this is only... partially true, right? I mean, the assumption here is that you could ask whoever you want, which is sometimes true, but there are notions of localized authorities, and localized authorities already calls into question the ability to ask someone else. I will point out, to give an example of how powerful that is, and the implications, sometimes surprising, of this notion of the fact that halacha was traditionally geographic, and minhagim were geographic, and all of that. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein argues that a wife has to accept the minhagim of her husband, right? Because she enters his bayit, or she enters his makom, right? That's basically the argument he makes.
And Yemusha.
Rav Henkin notes that actually is simply untrue, because there's a machloket rishonim, if there's a dispute between a husband and a wife as to where to live, where she grew up or where he grew up. So who gets the upper hand?
Wife.
So we paskin, like the positions, that the wife has the upper hand. And Henkin notes that the classic models of halakhic authority, minhagim, were geographically defined, which meant that de facto, the wife could force her husband to adopt her minhagim, not directly, but by forcing him to move. And therefore, there is no principled position that...
Right, but that might mean that if you didn't move to her makom...
It might be, but his point was that if it's about makom... Right? There's no reason to believe that the husband controls the makom, right? In fact, the opposite may be true. Obviously, she has to actually make him move,
yeah.
Right? But the point of that is just, right, that this notion of sort of like localized minhagim, that we can choose, and it depends entirely on the persons, right? That's sort of an anomaly, right? Traditionally, it was geographic, and there were certain limitations. Your ability was sort of curtailed by pre-existing hierarchical structures, but what I noted is that if you believe, and there's good reason I think to believe, that halachic authority in the modern world has shifted legitimately from a geographic model to an ideological, an identity, a socialized model, meaning one that you choose, then even that model would sort of break down. Okay, so that's where we were. Last week. Now, we noted that there are certain distinctions between these. So just to go over some of them, because we didn't really get into most of them, we got into some of the main ones. One of the central nafkaminas that is brought up by the poskim is the question of bidiyavad, meaning if you asked a shayla and someone said it was asr, and then you asked somebody else, they said it was mutter, so now what? Right? If you think that this is fundamental, right, you accepted it upon yourself, you gave the authority to the posek to transform your halachic reality, so then there's no turning back. But if you think it was just kavod, well, at this point, you shouldn't have done it, right? But you now have two options, because now someone told you asr and someone told you mutter. Now, that is a very strange, right? That's a very strange position, right? Meaning you shouldn't have done this. You should not have asked. But now that you did, it's possible that within the Rashi model, you now have basically right a smorgasbord of answers that you can take, because now you have, right?
Is there some sort of like a...
This, you know, it's one of the... A mechanech I was schmoozing with when I was in England from another yeshiva told me that I have to watch a few episodes of The Good Place because it's like philosophical. So I started watching it to see what he was talking about. And like right at the beginning, like there's this like argument going on, and one of the main characters says, have you ever any closer to making a decision? Said, yes, I've narrowed it down to two choices. Yes or no.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Which is like, right, sometimes how I feel here, right? Like, we have now entered that world that you shouldn't have done it, but now you have successfully narrowed down your position to yes and no.
Yeah, you
Asr and mutter. No, not at all.
Is there an idea of like a fine or something like that? Like, that like, Bezdin can do if you do something like what's the... is there an idea of Knas, is there an idea of like a skilo, what's the downside to doing this? Meaning,
so you shouldn't do it. It is wrong.
What I'm saying. Like,
okay, so
it's like going against Kabbalah.
Yeah, you shouldn't do it, right? But you did it. Now there is a second part to here, and this complicates it a bit, because Tosfot notes that there may be actually two independent prohibitions going on that are getting blurred. Because there's really two questions. One is, I, as the shoel, I've asked the question, now can I ask somebody else?
Right.
The second question is another posek allowed to weigh in? Meaning, there are two people's authority that are potentially, or rights that are potentially curtailed by the act of asking a shayla. One is the shoel, meaning he is now bound to the answer. The other is other poskim, who theoretically were in play as weighing in on this question, now have to stay out of it. So Tosfot picks up on this, and Tosfot notes as follows. He says, "Hanish'al l'chacham v'timei lo yish'al l'chacham v'itaher." So he, first of all, doesn't understand this whole issue, right? And this is where we want to like delve into it. So he says, first of all, I don't understand the whole issue. Because someone said, he said, well, why not? Why don't I just ask everybody? It was probably Yaakov in it when it was less from moments, or I don't know. Right? You vacillate, right? No, like, it's just, you know, Yaakov and I share a lot together. Sometimes we're very, very, like, we have very conservative moments, and sometimes very liberal moments on the exact same point, right? So he's like, why not? Just.
And sometimes you argue with each other.
And sometimes we argue, and sometimes we happen to overlap. Or sometimes we switch places, whatever. He said, I don't even get this whole notion. What is this notion of asking a single posek? Why would you do that? Ask as many people as you can, let them argue it out, and get the best answer. I mean, ma pitom. There's this like magic. I ask a shayla now, I can't ask somebody else. Why not? Ask everybody in the world. Let them argue it out and you know, let the truth, right?
I mean, let them argue it out, like, hear all the positions and figure it out for yourself?
No, presumably not, right? No, he says, ulai yishivuhu midvarav, meaning, why can't... I mean, he's assuming you're not a posek.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, but why can't you be the facilitator to debate, right? Right? Like, ask 100 people and let them, like, right? You're not happy with the answer? Good. So find someone else who you think will be able to engage in, right? And sometimes you actually see this, right? That you think that the main actors are poskim, but it's not. The main actor is the person who...
Who's asking,
right? You see this... You ever seen Sanctity of the Synagogue? You ever seen this book? It's like...
Because
this thick... It's mamish. So it's a record. I've definitely mentioned this to you before, right? In the height of the Orthodox conservative fights in America, right? What was the issue? What was the breaking line between them?
Women.
Mechitza. Thank you. That was the symbolic issue. Mechitza was the symbolic issue.
Didn't the Israel Masorti movement at a certain point not do Mechitza? They did do Mechitza.
I don't think they have Mechitza. They don't drive on Shabbos.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, which is a much bigger deal. I'll trade that. Right? If I had to pick one, I will pick, right? I will say, okay, don't have your mechitza, but don't drive on Shabbos. If I had to pick, again, someone's going to misinterpret and say, oh, you don't care about mechitzas. That's not what I said. I said I was very happy when the Masorti movement made the move to say driving on Shabbos is asur midaraisa, which, to be fair, was the absolutely obviously right decision.
Personally, I stayed there. Like, at the United...
There?
The United,
where's there?
United,
in the movement?
No,
and like
the conservative... like a place to stay right next to the United Conservative Synagogue and the Conservative Yeshiva.
Oh, like the one across from the like this great synagogue, like same block.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in that sort of guy, I know what that is. Yeah. There's a lot going on in that area.
Yeah.
The Mizrahi office is across the street there also. It's all one block. You know what I'm talking about? Like the in Rehavia, where like the supercell is as you're going up towards Karen Asod and then King George and
Rehavia.
What?
Yeah, I'm not even sure about Rehavia, to be honest.
Anyways, not important. So Tosus, the point is, Tosus says, I don't understand. What is, right, the assumption of all of this is that there's a value to asking a single person, but why? Oh, so I was saying the example I was giving was the sanctity of the synagogue. Sanctity of the synagogue, in the height of the Mechitza fight, it became a legal fight. You'll say, separation of church and state. So this was actually very clever. A shul wanted to switch from being Orthodox to... No, to be back. Wanted to switch from having a mechitza to not having a mechitza. And Baruch Litvin was involved in a lawsuit, it was a balabas in the shul, against the shul to sue them into keeping the mechitza. What was the logic? Because the charter of the shul called it Orthodox, which means that by contract law, the donations were given under the assumption of orthodoxy, and therefore it became a contract question.
Nice.
Right? So that gave it the petach that the court asked for proof to define the word orthodox, and Baruch Litvin went on a crusade and collected tshuva from everybody. So this book has from Ramosha and the Rav, and Rai Lam, and like all the Americans, to the Chavetz Chaim and Rav Kook, and like, it's insanely long. But he was really the person who like, right? Who really, like, yeah, like he, like, defined this issue.
That Orthodox, you gotta have the Mechitza.
What?
It was clear from those shuvas that Orthodox was defined as
having. Oh, yeah, and then the court decided that, yes, Orthodoxy means Mechitza. It was very, very interesting.
Is whatever.
What?
That too, like, that's not anything about the shuvas.
No, it has to be the shul,
How much money did Baruch win?
It wasn't money. He sued to keep the mechitza, right? He sued to. I don't know if there was money involved, but he sued, like, coerced them into keeping it. Yes, coerced, religious coercion. Yeah,
it's a very like.
Well,
that's what it was. He used the power of the American courts to keep the mechitza. I'm pretty sure that is coercive. But Joseph says, why? Right? Why do you have like all these Baruch Litvins running around on every shaila and say, let's flesh out the issue. Ask every postik in the entire world, right? He says, "V'yesh lomar de'eno aser ela l'shoel im lo yodia kvar shanish alti leploni v'asarli." He says, "You're right. You know what? You know what? Another consequence of thinking it's only about honor. It's not true that you're bound.
The only
thing you can't do is be dishonest. You can't go to second posek and tell him I'm asking you as if it were the first time." But Tosfos is so convinced that it's just kavod. He says, "You know what? It's not a lack of kavod to ask two people. I can get multiple opinions. I just have to tell them what I'm doing. I have to be honest about it."
Yeah, but what if the problem is that you're just trying to get like what works best for you? So then, like,
good. So what's
really be doing that?
Good. So what's the key? What am I going to answer?
It's
correct.
Only
if you don't tell them what you're doing. Correct. He says, but if I tell him what's happening, so then I've been yotzei my obligation. I've been honest. Now who has a prohibition? The posek. The posek can't just weigh in and say, oh yeah, it's mutter when someone else says it's usher. He's now... He now either has to say, I can't answer, it's usher, or try to convince the first one.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because there's two.
You can't say Mozart?
Nope.
What?
But it's his problem. To you. He can't say Mozart to you.
Why?
Because you already asked.
You asked someone else to say.
So what's the point in going to the post?
Yeah, what's the...
Because now... Because
he needs to go to the other.
Because you think the post egg's wrong. So Toes is saying, you can't just tell the post egg you're wrong. What you can do is ask another post egg and say, I think he's wrong. Here's what I... This is what I asked. This is what he said. And the post egg disagrees. The post egg will take it up with the other post egg. Right? I mean, that's what you're asking him.
Did you ask the first post in regards to what
so that's what he says. Look, continue. Look. He's going to read in Parakol Yad, Chacham Shasar in Chaviru Rishai Lahatir. And he's Medayikit, then the Gemara in Nido, rather than the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, right? He says, you're careful. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Lo Yishala Chacham. The Gemara in Nida says that right, the Chacham can't, Ein Chaviru Rishai Lahatir. So Elkin Yacholach Zero Kagon Shetabit Var Mishno Filish Gadad Sukol Kiidach Tohadam Rina and etc. He says, and then what it'll retract if the posik can show to the first posik, the second posik can show the first posik they made a mistake, either a fundamental mistake what we call Tabit Var Mishna or a whatever we call Shikol Adad.
Very interesting.
But what if he goes?
Yes, there's a Rosh of Balamor and a Raifa there. Yeah. So, second. Now, what I think is, now, it's clear there. Therefore, that Tosos really thinks this is a kavod issue, right? But he's right. Points out that it's not just kavod on you; it's kavod on the other posek. But what's interesting, again, if we each stage we sort of take a step back and say, well, what does this tell us about the role of the shoel? Right? On the one hand, it's clear from Tosfos that a non-expert does not have a right to Paskin. Right? Definitely something that's out of his league of qualification.
Right.
But what's interesting is that Tosfos ironically thinks that what? That doesn't mean that this is, right, a completely heteronomous system where you got an answer, now you have to listen. Because it's within your rights to say, I'm not happy with this. I'm not going to Paskin differently, but to agitate within the system and say, right, I think something's off here. I think there's another answer. I'm right. There's this interesting balance between autonomy and heteronomy. Right? Heteronomy is the opposite of autonomy. Right? Taking authority from others rather than authority from yourself. Okay? You've learned a new word. There are three words you have to know in this type of discussion. Autonomy, heteronomy, and theonomy, right?
And what are the three? What are they?
Autonomy right. Is self nomos, right? No, right. The nomi in autonomy is nomos, is laws. Right. So autonomy is self legislation, right? Heteronomy is legislation by others. Theonomy is legislation by God, right?
Was there anything legislation by others?
Heteronomy is by other people.
By yourself. To others.
No, to you. For yourself. Autonomy. Right? When someone says, I made an autonomous decision, I mean, I made it for myself. Right? Legislate for myself. Right? I made the decision myself. Heteronomy is I let someone else make the decision for me. Theonomy is I let God make the decision for me. So what he's saying is that there is a... Right? Halacha is clearly not completely autonomous in the sense that we don't just say you can do whatever you want, especially if you're not an expert in interpreting the Torah. Well, okay. Let's be clear. If halacha is between autonomy and theonomy... Then obviously halacha is theonomous.
Right.
Where you listen to God, you don't listen to yourself. Right? That's clear. What's less clear is to what extent halacha is heteronomous versus autonomous. And if you listen to a lot of the polemics within the Orthodox community, people will assume that because halacha is theonomous, it's also heteronomous. And what's their proof for that? Los Tassur, right? There's this heavy authoritative, which is true. There is a level of heteronomy, of authority in halacha. But what's clear in Tosfot is that how exactly play out is right. Even in this model, right, you see that he's balancing it. He's saying on the one hand, it's not autonomous in the sense that a non-expert can't just make up his own mind, but it's not completely heteronomous in the sense that he has to just say, okay, I asked a Shiloh and that's it. I can't ask somebody else. Right? Tosfos actually thinks you're allowed to ask somebody else to encourage conversation, to get towards an answer that you think is more proper. You can't just make that decision yourself, but you can advocate, right? Which is a complicated model, right?
And if he doesn't convince the first posek,
so then he's bound by it. Right, then he's bound by it.
He's
right
there, by the first posek.
Yes. Now again, that's because you asked, right? There's still
is this
still that level. So this is what we talked about a little bit last week: is that the poskim assume that if it's kavod, it should work both ways,
right?
And if it's shavye chaticha diser shavye nafshe, it should only be leiser and not leheter. Right, either you accepted it or other people created your reality, they can only create Chumrah but not Kula. But we noted that the simple Pshat of the Ritva is not that way. The Ritva says this is Bein L'Kula, Bein L'Chumrah.
Yeah, why would it only be Chumrah? If they
because they think that you can't create a status. The Poskim assume that there's no such thing as a status of Heter. It's just lack of Isser, and therefore, Poskim said Mutter, it's just left open for someone else to say. But the Ritva seems not to say that. No, Mutter means Mutter.
Yeah.
Similarly, in the next Tosos, Tosos here is even stronger, and Tosos in Nida seems to think that the Isser rests exclusively, almost exclusively, on the Posek. And if you look at his answer at the bottom of the next Tosos, he says Yish Lomar the Kepedel Lohavia Shoel Elach Acham. I will show Yishal Kol Mashiyirza to be Tochtachi Daktu B'Davar Pamim Sharishin Tovi Yitzah Davar Laora. Right, Tosos there says no. This is really. It's wrong. There is no Isser on Shoel. Shoel can ask many people as he wants. Right? He can't
except
make the decision.
For what? Except for the Gemara and
Avodah Zarah. Yeah, but Tosos, the way he works out the Sugyas, he actually... Right? The Tosos in Nida...
Yeah.
The Tosos in Avodah Zarah seems to think both are true.
Right.
The Tosos in Nida seems to think, no, the only Isser is really on the Posek.
How do you pick the one in Nida?
What?
How do you throw out the one
in Yeah, you read it in light of, right? You know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sort of like
question?
Oh yeah, I did a question. We said in the first posek that the person has to make it clear when he goes to the second posek. So what if he just goes to the second posek and he goes, I'm doing this purely out of convenience. I want to just find a easier, more...
Oh good, alright, sorry. Right, so here's an important point, right? Is that, yes, these sources indicate that there is a certain level of room for someone to say, you know what, I don't think this is right.
Right.
But what's the common denominator of these tosasim? That what legitimates you saying, you know, I'm not willing to accept that answer?
By being honest with the second poset.
And presumably that you think it's wrong, right? You have an intuition that... No, because you can't make the decision yourself, right?
You can
bring it up for debate.
That's wrong.
But if you already have a sense that it's wrong, then...
Or might be wrong, or you want it to be wrong. You could even be, you want it to be wrong. But
that's totally different. No,
but remember, what's the difference? The difference is that... Unless the posek convinces the first posek, you will remain bound.
Okay.
Right, that's the difference.
Well, wanting it to be wrong and thinking it's wrong is two totally different things.
Correct. I'm not sure the Tosas would deny this. Right, that even if you want it to be wrong, you can keep asking.
Yeah.
What leaves your intellectual integrity, according to Tosos, is that, right? I'm not just going to take the new kula.
Right.
Right.
It's
that's
not being intellectually honest if you. Want it to be wrong, and then go to a second posek.
No.
No, because he's saying, but you're not going to accept the kula.
But your like root reason for doing that is because you just
fine.
Want
yeah, but if it
stop.
Turns out that's the right stuff, then all right.
Good. And doesn't that
isn't that not good because of the reason though? Isn't that like problematic that you're just trying to get a more lenient psak?
I mean, look. If you look at the Rush's formulation, right?
The
Rush's formulation doesn't sound like you think he's wrong. If you look three lines down the Rush, he says, "Avol yachal hu lomar lachacham acher davar zeshalti lachacham ploni v'asurli manir lachabazeh." Right? This doesn't sound like you think it's wrong. Like it's you want to be wrong. He says, "Look, I asked someone. This is what he said. What do you think?"
Uh-huh.
Right? Like it sounds like he just like
go against him.
What?
No. Yeah.
No. Then he says, "V'im yira l'sheni shita." Harishan Yelech Vitvakechimo. If the second one thinks he's wrong, he has to argue. Again,
boy,
if he doesn't convince him.
That's not a common issue. Let's say I asked you. Or I asked Raji, and then I asked
we'll
you.
See that.
So then you went, wait, you're going to go back to Raji and be like, here's why you're wrong? Like, really?
Well, if
yeah,
I don't, then you're bound.
Thing for him, yeah.
Right. Meaning if I don't.
That's not a common thing for
right,
him.
Then you don't have a right to change. I'll say, look, I'm not going to argue. Right? But.
Then you're bound, yeah.
Correct.
Mm.
But sometimes it's not always a sometimes yes
get out
it's yeah so Yaakov it is a it might look it might just be that look
yeah,
if you ask
about the kid you asked
no see now you're stuck I don't know why you asked okay
well, he was stuck even if he didn't
do you have to approach it do you have to say it talk to that rabbi though
okay now But he the rush continues. He says, "V'im chaluk alav b'shikul hadas." But what happens if it's a fundamental mistake? So the second one will convince him. But what if it's just a question of an opinion, a shikul hadas?
Right.
So then what? Shesvarazo note delahatim rashas arishon v'im yochal ochichum mitocham mishnah mitzvah amora. But he can't prove it. So then what? Right. Meaning the second one doesn't agree, but he can't prove that he's right.
So you're bound.
Yomer ani omer kach, aval eni matir masha asarta. Me'achshir yata mipicha laser v'shavite chatichid yisrove and biyadi lahachzir chamitoch devar mishnah omora. That's the point, right? In the end of the day, what the second posting is going to have to say is, listen, to be honest, I don't agree with the first posting's argument, but I can't prove he's wrong, and therefore you are still bound. Right? And that's where the intellectual, right, the integrity comes in, is that in the end of the day, you may be able to ask multiple people, but the second posek, unless he can convince the first posek that he's wrong, right, we'll have to, you see how he phrases it, we'll have to tell him, listen, I really don't think that was the right psak, but there's nothing I can do, because I can't prove it, and you already asked him, right? Mm-hmm. So you see that balance, right? And this is, again, this is the lens I want you to think about these issues, because these issues, all these issues, are not just halachic sugyos. They are halachic sugyos that speak to the very nature of authority in halacha. And what you see here is this, there is this, there's complicated balance. That on one hand, it's clearly a system that's predicated on a certain level of expertise and authority. And there are red lines, right? You can't just go to whoever you want. Once you've asked, there are limitations. But on the other hand, who you ask, and according to Sosa, whether you can ask again and at least hope and try to get a different answer, recognizing that the answer could be no, right? That still puts you, right, as an active member of the halachic process, right? Right, undeniably. Okay. Okay, let's look at Shulchan Aruch. Let's see how it makes it to Shulchan Aruch, okay? Shulchan Aruch paskins. Kol talmid chacham shedeota mechuvano eino medaber b'mnei mishagadol menu b'chochma. Now, it's interesting that the context of this is, and this is where you really see the balance, the context of this is limitations both on, right, poskim, right, meaning he brings this up in the context of a discussion of the limitation on posek, right, the Talmud Chacham shouldn't speak in front of someone greater than him. Right, you're not really supposed to pass until 40. The early Bar Ilans.
You're not 40.
What?
34.
No. The early, not even close.
33. 34.
Not even close.
30. 31. 31.
31.
So how do you possibly?
We've been through this. Yitz is older than me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Whoa. That's nuts.
By several years.
Not several. By
two, three.
He's like 31. Maybe.
So he's really, he's your elder.
Yes, he's my elder. Yes, it was always evident.
He should possibly be you.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, he is my posek. When I first made these story sheets, it was like, that was still when, like, it was hard on Bar Ilan to get rid of the references. Now it's like, you just don't, they don't copy, right? The new one, you know, like all these, yeah. Anyways.
How do you posek if you're not 40 then?
Was it a Paskin? I never Paskin.
Who says we Paskin at the show?
He says, "Im yesh gadol mino ba'ir." If there's a greater person than him in the city, avo bishino rabo. Then he continues, "Chacham she'asar ein chaver rashai lahatir mishikol adat, aval im yesh lo kabbala she'ta'a o she'ta'a b'dvar mishna yachol latir." Now here the Rama adds something interesting, which is that a posek can be makil not just because he has a proof from the Gemara, but because he has a Kabbalah. Even if he has a Mesorah to be Mekel, the Posek can weigh in and be Mekel. The only thing he can't do is just argue Misvara, which is interesting.
So if he from the rub or whatever, he could argue on a...
Something like that, right? That's what it sounds like. V'afilu im tabishkel adat yachaliso velite nim amorach yachzerbo. And the Posek, at any rate, can argue with the other Posek and get him to be Mekel. V'lacheni nizrul shoel l'sheni. And therefore, the Ramah paskin like Tosfos, and therefore, there's nothing wrong with asking a second posek. Ubilvan sheodio so shekvar hora rishon lazar, as long as he tells him that the first one was machmir. Vafilu mita rishon kvar chala hora so ein l'sheni lazar mikoch shekol hadas. And even if the first one was mekil, the second one shouldn't just stop be machmir, which proves, by the way, that right we paskin. Yes. Now we come to the real limitation, and this is what I mentioned before, and you, every time I say it, in every context this comes up, you never believe me, and I will say it for the millionth time. everything here is only that piece of a b'mais acher, but another incident, even identical, but it's not that piece of meat, right? Pshita sheyachal oros mashenirei lav. Obviously, you can, right, ask somebody else, get whatever opinion they want, right? And that's what I said, is that it sounds like this is a very, very sweeping limitation, but it really isn't, because in halacha, the extent to which psak is binding is the extent to which you ask the question. If you asked about this piece of meat, then that is what that psak applies to.
If you ask a general question,
correct. Presumably, if you ask a policy question, like what should I do, right, like forever, I don't know, right? Then that's what you asked about.
The post answer,
right? Presumably, you know, it's hard to tell, right? Meaning, is there a presumed time limit, right? Like my situation has changed, right? Like,
right.
Meaning, it could be that, look, I asked what to do for life, but like, what I meant was like at this stage of my life, like when I'm single and I'm, you know, I don't have other, right? Mm. Meaning, it could be that things will change, right? Like, if you ask, right? If you ask, what should I do about 2 days, you know, second day of Yontif in Eretz Israel? So, you're single, you're yeshiva, whatever, you don't own property in Israel, so they'll say whatever they say, right? But, you know, Baruch Hashem, you'll be very successful in business, and, you know, in 10 years from now, you'll have property, and you'll have an apartment, even if you're living in America, Rahman al-Islam, you'll have property in Israel, right? And you're here every Yontif, right? Your circumstances will have changed, right? Like, it's not the same Shaila. So even if you ask for guidance on life, right, there, clearly at some point the Mitzvah changes, right? The conditions change, yeah. Right? Or whatever, even just as simple as I'm married and, you know, I didn't really have like a strong opinion. My wife's family has very strong traditions about this, right? She's from a rabbinic family and this is what she does and she refuses to do it, right? There are all types of circumstances. So you'd have to say, is there like a presumption? I don't know, right? I don't know the answer to that question. Now, the Shach notes, if you look at the next one, notes that first of all of this is only if you ask someone and then you wait to ask somebody else. But if they're both sitting there in the base medrash, it's totally legitimate to ask them. These are multiple shachs. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just giving you, you know. This was from a different stage in life where I was much less...
forgiving.
I just put everything. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So you'll figure it out. Yeah. So he says, first of all, this is only if you ask and then it comes up again. Right? If they're both in the base medrash, it's totally legitimate to ask a bunch of people. Ugh. Right? To say, what do you think? Right? Throw it out there. Right? Right. And see what happens.
Well, what if you go from one to the next? Like,
no, so that's presumably one after the other. That's not what he's...
Oh, I see.
So you just contact a rabbi who's far away.
Yes.
Now, another nafkamina of thinking that it's kavod is with the shachnos and nun gimel, which is, if the second posek is far and away a greater posek than the first one, then it's legitimate because no one's going to take that as a slight to their honor. Mm-hmm. Right, that's another nafkamina of this. It's very simple.
Line.
You ask me a shaila, I said one thing. You go ask Rav Asher Weiss, I will say whatever he says, do. Right? Yes, he's always my example. Okay, whatever he says, do. Okay, it doesn't matter what I said. Just ignore me. Right? Right? You know, sometimes it's quite clear. Right?
But I'm saying it's not always going to be the case where it's very clear like that.
What? I didn't say I would do what he said. I said if you ask him and then you decide to ask him, I can't wait. Hanani, I have different mezaras. I love Rav Asher Weiss. I'm not a direct Talmud of Rav Asher Weiss. It's legitimate for me to have different practice. Okay. The Shach paskins that afil hiter ein mutter, that even b'dieved, you can't retract.
Even in Rashi's framework?
This is within Rashi's framework, yes. Right, meaning you, right?
Rashi's public? No.
Yes.
Yeah,
he does, right, so it That's seems to me not even be enough, Kamina.
Well, yeah.
Now, he notes that this chiddush of the Ramah, that if you have a misora that you're allowed to argue, which is really quite a chiddush, he says that is a machlokes. That does not seem to be obvious, mm-hmm. right? Meaning, it's one thing to say someone made a mistake in Gemara, you can uproot it. It's another thing to say, I happen to have a misora. And he said that, right? And he says v'chenir ikir b'shas, right? He thinks that the ikir pshat is that you can't do it, that a mesora is not going to be enough. Okay, let us continue, right? Let's skip this. Really, this is just all the Nesek Kalim here. Let's look at the Pisrei Tshuva, okay? So how bad of a mistake does it have to be? What qualifies as a Dvar Mishnah, right? In which the second post it can just say, you know, that was just a fundamental mistake. So he brings some few questions. He said, what happens? You have an interesting question. I'll say it outside. What happens if there's two reasons to say something's usur? And one of them is absolutely wrong, right? Right? It turns out that one of the reasons he said it was usur was just wrong. The other one is shikul hadas, right?
Uh-huh.
Is that called enough of a mistake? Right? Meaning, one of the reasons he provided is just an opinion, right? One of them was just a mistake. Is the fact that part of his psak was predicated on a total mistake enough to say, let's throw the whole thing out and let the second one be makil, right? It's an interesting question. So he argues that it depends. If the posek was aware, right, if his main argument essentially was the one which was just an opinion mistake, then it's not fundamental. Right? But like if he missed that source, right, like he really missed something fundamental and was machmir, right, for the wrong reason, that would be reason to throw it out.
Even throw out the shikul hadas.
Yeah. Now he notes that let's say you it turns out it was a tal b'shikul hadas, sorry, a tal b'dvar mishnah, and you had already thrown out the meat. So you're just sort of polishing off. The posek has to pay you for it. Right, that is, in a case where it turns out there was a fundamental mistake.
What does shikul hadas mean?
Like, in a yeah, different ways of interpreting the sugya.
Wait, so the, hold on,
okay. Okay, right, and the next point he says, alright, fine.
Are they getting these from? Are these just
earlier post-game. Yeah, no, earlier authorities, yeah. Okay, let's look at a ma'isa acher in Chaf Aleph. I am Mishut Shiva Tzion. She calls it the Zedafka Nishal Chacham Hasheni Alav. As Rashar Lifzak Mashenirei Alav b'ma'isa acher. Can Uvdu Demarik. I will use Kovitz Me'alav Lahatir Mashasar Chacham Acher Lo Shamanu. Now he said, be careful. He said, it's true that technically the psak is only binding in the first shayla. That doesn't mean you should be kula hopping, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if you know that there's right, he said, you ask a second posik. Right, so then you can do that, right? You ask the first pokey, is it usur? And then the same child comes up, you ask someone else. That's fine, right? But he says what you shouldn't do is, oh, I got an usur opinion today. Now let me find someone who's makil, right? There's an attitude question, right? If certain people just
why?
Like asking...
Why are we permitting that?
So he says...
No, different shaila.
He said, look. He said, when we say that the shaila is binding on what on the question you asked, so that's like, look, certain people, they want to ask all the time. So, right, you ask who happens to be there. So today I ask, usur. Tomorrow I ask, mutter.
Yeah.
Fine. But he said, right, but like if today I got usur, and then, right, the next day I'm like, oh, I can't believe I got it in isur.
So
let me find that person...
What's the problem? I don't know.
So my guess is that this is not a formal problem as much as an integrity problem. Right? That like, right? Meaning, you could, because remember we started this all off with the Gemara of you shouldn't, right? If you're always going, Kikule Beisil, Kule Beishamite, you're a Rasha.
Yeah.
Right? There is a certain level of integrity that's required here. And I think that's the balance here. Is that on the one hand, yes, you have the authority to ask other people and the psak is only binding if... You know, you ask the question. On the other hand, there is a level of integrity that's required being involved in the halakhic process. You can't just use the fact that there are other authorities to always generate kulas and, to be fair, always generate chumras, right? Both of those are either stupid or evil, according to the Gemara, right? And the complexity of this is trying to find that balance of integrity, right, within the process with right, all the other issues that are coming up. Okay, let's see. I have the Aruch HaSholchan here. I think when I originally put this was just that people would have everything on the page if they needed it, which is not how I would make a source sheet now at all. Fine. Let me see. Right, he really summarizes it. But I mean, he brings some other machlokot. He summarizes the Shach. Ah, no. Look at Simach Gimel, right? That's the most important point. Here's a question. We've assumed that this halacha exists, right? But the Aruch HaShulchan has a fundamental question here, which is, this is very nice. It's quoted in the Rambam. You know where it's not quoted? The Rambam Torah Shulchan Aruch. He says...
But it's in the Gemara, then.
Correct. So he says, how do you deal with this? Simon Saf Ziv Gimel. So he says, Vida. Shlo nimtza din zed achacham shasar and chavar yachal atir lo beramim lo betur. Right? Gemara mefreshet, he become mekomot. Velo reisi mishahir bazeh. Right? It's a Gemara, but it's not a Rambam. Right? Which for most people means it might still be halacha. Maybe not for certain people, but okay. Vanir levin is daiti. Desfir le rabosenu eila. So he comes up with a very radical chiddush. He says, maybe they think that this was once the halacha, but it's not anymore. The sphere of the Rabbosenu Eile, the Achav Asher Nisbashet Shifre Eshras Va'aposkim Lo Shayech Klal Din Ze. Shari Kvar Nisbar, the Din Ze Ein Elok Shenechelku Bisvar Ba'alma. Va'achshav Ein Lechad Va'harash Ein Lorayim Ez Gemara Ez a Posek V'rachelku Bichlal the Horos Bisvar Ba'alma. He says, you know what? This is all theoretical. This was in a world where there weren't Svarim. But now there are. And very few people make svara arguments. Usually it's from explicit sources they have. And therefore, this entire dynamic doesn't exist, bizman hazeh. As the imishum shigama poskim mechulekas ach be'emet b'zebir ha-rambam, z'elashun shnei chacham shenechlokol ge'echonos v'ermad v'shal toro l'chamach v'shal toro l'chamach v'shal toro l'chamach v'shal toro Hevi Doram Eila Bahosa was a doctor of Cholkim Shavim Lo Katan Neged Gadol Yochan Neged Rabim Ovi Arnu Etc. Demu Gadol Betar Vichadol Achria Berayat Vesugi Damlon Spasha Chaminayo Yesh Shemorim Bederayat Nachum and Rabban Lakula says nowadays you follow the rules of Psak, which are he says things like
that translation does not line up with the amount of word you just said.
Okay, he says nowadays you follow the rules of Psak like Yachid Rabim, Doraisa Achara Chumra, Dirabanan Achara, right? Achara Mekil, Gadol versus Katan. Meaning he says, this rule, but yeah, what's interesting, what?
What's the majority?
However you define Yachid and Rabim, majority, minority, right?
Okay.
Which is complicated, but without getting to the details, what is the Aruch HaShulchan saying? That fundamentally, nowadays, what is binding? Not who you ask, but simply?
Rules.
Yeah, rules, right? Now, I'm not sure that gives authority back to the people, right, to the posing. It really just means that we're more, right, mechuyav to the system, right, as a whole.
Wait, what, why did right? that change when there's svarim?
Because most people are posing based on what they find in svarim and not svarim per se, right? They're lining up with certain authorities, but you already knew that it was a machlokes, right? 90% of the time, you're saying you already know it's a machlokes, right? And people aren't, right, how often are poskim really posking based on their own svara, and how much are they saying, I'm aligning myself with these poskim?
What about, like, Rosh Feinstein,
Correct. I'm not sure it's 100% right. I'm not necessarily agreeing with the Aruch HaShulchan. Right? What I'm pointing out is that it could be...
Rosh never goes against... He always is going to align with somebody.
Generally. Good.
Because all the shitas are out there.
Correct. But this... So this...
If you give your own svara...
Good. So Zev, this opens us up to... So this opens up to what I think... I mentioned that there's two issues we have to examine in light of this, which is not how does this work in theory, but how does this work in practice. Mm-hmm. One is, what does this look like in a globalized world? The second, what the Aruch HaShulchan are indicating, is how does infinite access to information change the relative weight of poskim to non-poskim? And the Aruch HaShulchan is already telling you, right, it takes that very binding authority away from poskim because they're often not acting as poskim, right? Which means that if they're not asking poskim, in Mela... Right?
Right, then what's... Yeah.
Okay, the next few sources I don't think we have to read because we've actually seen this before, which is simply to know that not everything in life is considered a psak. Right? We've talked about this before, right? Only thing that has a chiddush, right. Something based on source, right? Previous sources, v'chulei. Next week, I guess we'll do the question of the globalized world of psak, right? How do we choose poskim in a world where the assumption is not geographical, and it's really about identity, and how does that work? How does that function? Or we can do the effect of the proliferation of svarim and things like that, and how that weakened the entire notion of rabbinic authority. We'll do one or the other. I don't know.
Cool.